When the guys asked me what my perfect night would be, I told them the truth. Beer and board games. They thought I was kidding. I was not kidding.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know what time it is. That's you know what that means. It's the Personal Arrogance Podcast. That's my best A-Rod impression. How'd I do, Jesse?
That's good.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen.
I thought I was listening to last week's episode.
The timbre of the Midwest Coast accent is really difficult to replicate.
Yeah, it's hard. You have to hang out with Aaron for a couple days, and then you'll inadvertently pick it up.
Yeah. That's, I think I kind of sounded like Gino trying to do a Bostonian accent there. I just slipped right into Texas. I thought it was so funny, dude. I was listening to that podcast in bed because I couldn't get to sleep, and it's literally 1:30 in the morning. I'm listening to it, and I'm cracking up. Listening to Gino's Bostonian accent.
I was dying at the Magic Card Minute.
Jim's, of course, not Gino's. That's who is Gino?
Guy.
That's that other dude. Jesse, what's your name and how was your week?
Oh, I'm Jesse, the newlywed Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
My week was jam-packed full of action and adventure.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
It was rip-roaring fun.
So you went to Bend, Oregon?
Yes, I did go to Bend, Oregon, which I liked a lot.
Yep.
And I liked it so much, there's going to be an entire podcast about Bend, or entire segment about Bend.
Excellent.
So look forward to that. That's called a tease.
That's called a teaser in the biz. Welcome to the biz, guys. Letting you in on the lucrative podcast business. I had an excellent week. I got to go yesterday. I literally one of the best days of my life.
Oh, yeah?
I got married in December, so that still takes the cake, because it was a lot more expensive.
And a lot more cake.
so yesterday I got to fulfill a lot of my dreams as a Mariners fan. And I know it's weird, dude. I know it's weird that I'm a Mariners fan and that, like, if you're listening and you're from Tennessee, you're like, who are the Mariners? I've never heard of this team before. It's basically...
I know them as Los Marineros.
Yeah. It's basically how we look at the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Right. Like, not even a team.
Yeah. And, like, Carolina Panthers pseudo team. I know that they were, like, the Seahawks rivals in the early 2000s. But still, like, Carolina Panthers, Jacksonville Jaguars, pseudo teams. And I understand that many people see the Mariners that way as well.
Right.
But I've been a lifelong Mariners fan. Yesterday, you know, with our listeners' help and with the help of Redditors and with the help of friends on Facebook, I won the Mariners t-shirt contest. So last night they handed out my Game of Throws t-shirt to 5,000 fans at the game, which was awesome. I got to go on the field during batting practice. So I got to – it was unfortunately the Red Sox batting practice, but I actually got to see some, like, amazing players that I – like David Ortiz and Dustin Pedroia. I was, like, within feet of these guys. It was super cool. And then I got to – and then they gave us, like, super good seats. We were in, like, the fourth row. Like, I could not imagine better seats. And then we found out that, like, everybody sitting around us, like, the lady sitting in front of us sang the national anthem – and, like, the people over the side were, like, the bagpipers. It was like, oh, this is just where all the comp seats are.
Yeah, you're in the comp section.
Yeah, but it was amazing. Like, we were so close that we were able to, like, heckle the pitcher. And like, if a guy made it to first base, we would heckle him standing on first base. And I don't know. It was just an amazing experience. I got a game ball.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I've been a Mariners fan my entire life. I've gone to numerous Mariners games, and I got a game ball for the first time at this game.
Did you catch it out of the air?
I did not. We were sitting like right next to first base, so it was a foul ball David Ortiz hit in the foul territory. The first base coach picked it up, and like as soon as he picked it up, I stood up and I held out my glove, and he just threw it right to me.
That's cool.
It was super cool. And then I also – they gave me like a goodie bag, so I got like a Mariners tumbler, and I was telling the guy before the game who was like showing us around. He was like, asking me if I collect bobbleheads, and I was like, yeah, well, I have the Felix Hernandez Cy Young bobblehead, but the one I really want is the Larry Brandes one, because I'm super bummed that I missed it, but I missed it because it's during PAX weekend. I couldn't miss PAX. But the Larry Brandes bobblehead is basically a Felix Hernandez bobblehead with, like, glasses and mutton chops on, and it was part of a marketing campaign. It's a super weird bobblehead, and that's why I want it. And he, like, went and fished one out for me.
Cool.
Yeah. So it was just an amazing day.
That's fun. I just got married.
Yeah, you know, that's cool, too.
So that was all right, but it's no Larry Brandes bobblehead. Kinda.
It really isn't. I mean, that's what I really – like, I wish – if I had Larry Brandes bobbleheads, because I have the Felix Hernandez Cy Young, during the wedding ceremony, I think we would have had them kiss before Lydia and I kissed, because that was right after gay marriage was passed in Washington. It would have been symbolic of marriage equality in the state.
Yeah, except I don't know that you could marry yourself.
Is it incest if you marry yourself?
That's a good question.
I don't think we need to go down that road, but I think most of us have probably committed incest if that's the case.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, hopefully it's not.
Hopefully it's not. Okay, anyway, Jesse, I have somebody to dedicate this episode to.
Go for it.
I'm going to dedicate this episode to the Jay Conspiracy.
Oh, good. Good.
Which is our group of friends, specifically Levi. For pulling off a great wedding ceremony.
Yeah, that is a tall order.
It is
a short order.
And he did a great job. He only cried once. And it's not every day that the person officiating the ceremony cries. While during the ceremony. But Felix, Levi pulled it off. And of course, you know, you and Jordy and me. I want to dedicate this to all of us because now we're all married.
I know.
It's a bunch of hitched guys.
It's going to be crazy when we do meet up with Aaron and Jim Jones, the cavaliering bachelors from Indiana.
I know, right?
They come visit us. We're all going to be hitched. All the Hex 19 guys are freewheeling single men as well.
Freewheeling Canadian nerds.
Yeah.
Awesome. And they're all going to be of legal drinking age in Washington next year.
That's right. We get to live vicariously through them.
Hey, Yuri only turned 21 once.
Oh.
Yeah. Those are infamous words in Jesse's life.
Those are poisonous words of deceit and terror.
Oh, man. Yeah. I can't wait, dude. PAX is very exciting, but we'll get to that. I just want to dedicate this to the Jay Conspiracy. And Jesse, what are you drinking this week?
I'm drinking free beer from work, but on top of that, I dipped into one of my wedding presents, single barrel bourbon from a little distillery called Blanton's.
Uh-huh.
They have a cool, like, horse logo on top of it, and it is delicious.
Cool.
Yeah, so I've really been enjoying that.
Do it, Blanton's. I'm drinking the Full Sail IPA. Full Sail, I mean, they've already got a beer in the Personal Arrogance Beer Hall of Fame because they make Session.
Right.
But all of their beers are so solid.
Yeah, they're really good.
They're
one of the most underrated brewing companies, I feel.
I think so, man. Like,
they're
all
pretty
of their stuff,
ubiquitous.
Yeah.
You can find them all over the place, and they make a bunch of really good different styles, and their branding is cool.
Yeah, and they have the LTD series, which they just, like, brew one-offs, basically.
Yeah.
So right now they have their ESB. I haven't tried that because I'm not a huge fan of ESBs. But their IPA, crisp, delicious, and also not very expensive.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they're like $5.99 a six pack.
Yeah. Hand it to Full Sail.
I guess they have a 22 out for $3.99 of Berliner Weiss that's supposed to be really good. So I'm going to pick that up this weekend to enjoy. And another cool thing they do is they give their brewers, like, each of their brewers gets to brew a beer periodically and, like,
just
design it themselves and come up with the name and everything. And that would just be really cool if you're a brewer and were able to make your own beer and, you know, live the dream. Sweet lifestyle of a production brewer.
So they're located in Hood River, which I think is right outside of Portland.
Are they in Hood River?
Yeah.
I almost spent an extra night there, but didn't. I'm going to have to go to Hood River here in the next month or two.
Isn't that next to Oregon? Or am I next to Oregon? Is it next to Portland? Or am I way off
It
here?
Is, east of Portland.
Yeah.
I think it's like an hour and a half inland from Portland.
Okay.
On the Hood River, obviously.
Oh, okay.
And also located there is Logsdon's.
Uh-huh.
Which is a farmhouse brewery. They do the Saison Bretta, which I bought one of you guys. I think Jordy ended up with that one.
Yep.
As a groomsman gift. And Logsdon's just really knocks it out of the water every time. And it's like founded by the guy who invented one of these famous yeast companies. I think it's Y Yeast. So, like, the guy knows what he's doing when it comes to cool yeasts.
Dude, yeast company would be an interesting yeast mogul. Interesting yeah. profession.
There's basically like two yeast companies in the U.S.
Yeah,
and they're making a lot of money. White Labs and Y Yeast for sure.
Yeast wranglers.
It's like $300 for two quarts.
We're in the wrong biz, J-Dog.
I'm not smart enough to be a professional yeast.
This podcast thing is we're definitely not getting that.
We're getting about three, four grand per listener per episode.
Oh, so that's, yeah, totally. It's not too bad. It's like America's Got Talent money. anyway, let's get to listener feedback this week. We only have one phone call this week. I know it's a little weird, guys, because Aaron and Jim weren't taking phone calls or voicemails last week, and I know we kind of threw you for a loop, but we are back in the saddle. So please do not forget to give us an email at personalarrogance@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 360-362-0024, just like Roger Dotti did. He did this a while ago, but he's got some insight, and we've tried to get away from this topic. We put our two cents in it, but Roger needs to speak on this, and I don't blame him. We're returning to bronies, to the brony discussion. So let's hear what Roger has to say.
What up, guys? Roger Dotze here. I'm just calling in. I've got a couple of comments based on last week's show. First of all, Eric, your little comments about being a fan of Harry Potter is like being a brony. I know it was mentioned in passing, and Jesse, you said you thought the same thing. Disagree completely. You gotta understand, that's just ridiculous. And yes, this is coming from me. I'm a big Harry Potter fan, self-proclaimed, but I think it's nowhere near being a brony. If I walked up to someone, say, in my class, and said, hey, I love Harry Potter. Who else loves Harry Potter? I think a lot of people would agree. No one would give me a funny look. I said, hey, guys, I love My Little Pony. Anyone want to watch My Little Pony with me? I think I would lose a lot of respect. Target demographic is much different. I know they're both intended for children. I will agree with that. But My Little Pony, from what I understand, is intended for little girls. And developmental, I mean, this is more like watching a younger show. Something like Harry Potter is intended for kids who at least have double digits in their age and not geared towards a specific gender. It's just weird being a brony. It freaks me out, and I think most people would agree with that. Not with Harry Potter. Liking Harry Potter is like liking a Pixar movie. It's wholesome. It's good. It's got good, lessons in it. But it also has true humor, winks at the adult audience, and it is a good time. That was just a little bothersome. I don't know if y'all even thought about that, but just had to put my two cents in there. Hope everyone's doing great. Congratulations, Jesse. You're the man. It's awesome. I love married life. It's the best. You guys take care. Get off my back.
Get off my back, Roger.
Get off my married back.
Get off my married back. So much stuff there. The thing is, like, he described... The problem is I can't get creeped out by bronies. I don't have enough time to be creeped out by bronies.
I've seen some pictures of bronies that really disturb me.
That's fine. I've seen plenty of pictures that have disturbed me of plenty of things.
I mean, also just want to apologize real quick to Roger for not being hard enough on bronies.
I know, right?
Apparently, I didn't push the envelope far enough for his satisfaction.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like 40% of the cosplay at PAX disturbs me. So, I mean,
I'm not giving anyone a pass.
All right, I'm not
just harping on bronies here. There's okay. a whole spectrum of people that I think are behaving whack.
Well, I mean,
like the people at PAX who dress up like whatever. One, that's like half anonymous, mostly anonymous.
I don't know. The dudes who dress up like the Street Fighter guys and wear like a thong and that's it.
Yeah, that's
and they weigh
true.
Like 300 pounds.
And I do think that's wrong, but they're not writing into the podcast telling me that it's an okay thing to do.
I think it's like, but Roger was saying that the you know Pixar movies wink at the adults in the audience. It sounds like I know I haven't seen any My Little Pony, and I really don't plan to watch it. But it sounds like you know we had our listener. Write in and tell us that there are like Firefly jokes. Okay, yeah, you know, there are Firefly jokes and stuff in there. That's winking to the adults in the audience as well.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
again, to me, it all comes down to demographic. Like,
well,
if
come
they
on.
Play, if, well, I mean, if they play Harry Potter on TV, the ads are probably going to be for like cars and stuff.
I don't think so. It'll be on like ABC Family, dude.
I don't know. They would play that on, like, TNN.
Man, well, I don't think – there's also kind of a double standard here. It's like, well, if the show is tailored toward little boys, then you can watch it. Like G.I. Joe or Transformers or Ninja Turtles. That's cool because those are tailored toward little boys. If they're tailored toward little girls, you can't watch it. That's a double standard. Because you're – right?
You make a good point, but I still find it weird.
All right. I just, like I said, I don't have enough time in the day to have any animosity toward people like My Little Pony. And frankly,
See,
I don't care.
You're just being diplomatic.
I don't care. Like what you like. As long as you're not hurting anybody, that's fine.
Yeah,
there are weirdos
fine.
In every single – there are weirdos in that like every single thing.
True. I agree. That's fine. But don't expect me to embrace your lifestyle.
That's fine. Yeah. I'm not gonna watch My Little Pony, but I'm not gonna hate you just because you watch it. I'm gonna hate you because you're 300 pounds. You're wearing a thong to PAX.
I'm gonna hate you a little bit if dress up like a pony.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's the thing. Like if you dress up like a pony, I'm gonna hate you a little bit. You're falling into that 40%. I sound like Mitt Romney right now.
I feel like maybe there might be stratification of bronies where like some people like it but would never dress up, and I'm launching flack out there, like that scene in Predator where they like see the ghost image of the Predator and they all just fire blindly into the woods. Maybe I'm participating in that, casting aspersions at all bronies just because I've seen a couple of dudes dress up as ponies and it really creeped me out.
Yeah.
That could be what's happening.
Yeah, you know, it's.
But I got a mini cannon, not a sniper rifle.
It kind of, you know, it's kind of the same way I see anime. Like I just don't get anime, and frankly, anime kind of creeps me out a little bit. But
really,
yeah.
But you're not creeped out by bronies?
Well, I'm creeped out by certain bronies, and I'm creeped out by certain people who like anime for certain reasons. Okay.
See, this is I don't know.
But it falls. There are plenty of genres that where there are creepers.
Again, it all they're shades of everything. Like,
right.
I like a couple of anime shows, but I wouldn't say I like anime. But there's a couple of anime shows, especially like Cowboy Bebop. I actually really love that show, and maybe I would get mowed down by your chain gun of disapproval.
Maybe.
Whereas,
you know, but
perhaps,
I also
we should be more surgical with our hatred.
Like I said, I also like Samurai Jack, and that's a pseudo anime show. It's an anime inspired show, at the very least.
It's an animated anime inspired show.
Exactly. There are creepers in every genre. That's all I'm saying. Don't
Fair
be
enough.
A creeper. None of our listeners are creepers, though.
Eric Walk was a perpetual diplomat.
So, all right. Well, with that, let's do a little tiny Matt roll off and get this show on the road. Roger, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it as always. And
oh shit!
Oh, geez.
Don't worry about it.
Dice malfunction. And Roger, keep in touch, buddy, because Jesse's going on vacation later, and we might be looking for guest hosts.
That
just floating it out there.
I would really enjoy that. I kind of want you. I want like 3 or 4 of our our fans to do like 10-minute segments with you. I think that'd be really.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah, and you could like interview them. Like, yeah. Better know a listener.
Better know a listener. They do the topic, and I'll just moderate.
Ooh, yeah. There you go.
All right. Well, did you roll, or was that just a malfunction?
That was a dice malfunction.
Okay, let's roll. A little tiny minute roll off. We're going to roll a 20-sided dice, see who gets to talk first on the podcast this week.
I rolled an 11.
I rolled a lucky number 13.
Jeez, you've been smoking me.
Hey, man, the adjusting to the mean. Adjusting to the moon. Okay.
Sounds like it could be like a memoir of boot camp.
Adjusting to the mean?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. You're mean. Adjust to it.
You better adjust to it.
You better adjust to it, soldier. I can't do that. I can't do that impersonation either. I'm 0 for 2 on impersonations tonight. But
also, I don't think they call you soldier in boot camp because you're not a soldier yet.
There you go. But speaking of bad impersonations, we did get an email from Oliver James, Ollie James. London, in jolly old London town. Hello.
What has this podcast become?
Hello, Ollie. First of all, he says, hey, guys, thanks for answering my question on the show. But, Eric, that English accent is absolutely terrible. I can't.
It's more of a like a stereotype than an accent.
My wife says that she gets completely turned off 100% whenever I use that accent. And she says that it reminds her of Russell Brand. It's like a bad Russell Brand.
You know, I feel like Russell Brand is doing a bad English impersonation.
Yeah. Hello.
He's probably Scottish or something.
Yeah, he's probably Welsh. Fucking Welsh.
Even worse.
Jeez, Welsh.
Even worse than a brony.
Ollie says, I literally cannot describe how bad it is. But he's looking for some help. He says, anyway, I'm DJing my parents' wedding next week, and I need some advice and some must-play tunes. Help, please.
Wait, so, your parents' wedding?
Yeah. He's DJing his parents' wedding.
That is very interesting. Because, like, have they been not married this whole time? Were they married and then got divorced and getting remarried?
Remarried. Or... is it like a stepdad situation?
It's a double marriage, and they're marrying other people.
Oh. But in the same ceremony. Because they're still best friends.
Yeah, exactly. Or it could be like they're divorced and marrying another couple that got divorced.
Right. It's so like when twins marry twins.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's exactly like that.
So I sent Oliver, Ollie, if you will, I sent him my playlist that I have I played at my wedding because I DJed my own wedding, and I've DJed a couple other weddings, and so I sent him my playlist. But I wanted to talk about this because it actually came up on the Pop Culture Happy Hour, which is a podcast that's done by NPR.
Used to listen to that one and face it out.
Yeah, it's a hit and miss. It's a time filler for me. But we were driving to Coeur d'Alene for the 4th of July weekend, and so we listened to a couple episodes, and one of them...
Coeur d'Alene, Idaho?
Yeah, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
That's fun.
Yeah, it was cool. That's where Lydia's brother lives, so we went there for the holiday
cool.
And went camping and stuff. It was super river floating.
Nice.
But we were listening to this podcast, and they have one of the music critics for NPR.com, or NPR.org is on there. And he said that somebody wrote in and was like, had a wedding conundrum. And so I really need to talk about wedding DJing because I listened to this segment for like 20 minutes and I was like, I need to get my 2 cents in. And what do you know? I have a podcast to do that. So I'm going to do it on here. But basically he was saying that like this person wrote in and was like, I'm getting married and my DJ is like a Nazi. Like they are only letting me pick 10 songs to play. And I have 2 of the songs, and then listed both of the songs. One of them was like, You're Just Too Good to Be True, I think, by Bobby Valley. So it's like, You're Just Too Good to Be True, which is fine. That's a good slow dance song if you want to have slow dance at your wedding. It's fine. The other one was like this Van Morrison song, which was like mid-tempo, which is the worst. Because like basically that's just a sit-down song. Like people are going to start hearing it and they're just going to sit down. Because you can't dance slow to it. You can't dance fast to it. It's not a dance song. And
See, now I feel like you're critiquing my first dance song.
No, what was your first dance song?
Fly Me to the Moon.
No, that's perfect, dude.
I was expecting it to be a slower version, and it was pretty mid-tempo.
Yeah, it's a mid-tempo song, but that's fine because that is a swing song. Like, every big band song is made to dance to.
That's a good point.
So that
also,
is
I forced everyone to start dancing, like,
yeah,
a couple measures in.
Oh, it was great. I really liked that. I was also very drunk at that point.
Yeah.
Because your Saison was kicking.
Wasn't it good, man?
And then, yeah, and then after a couple glasses of Saison, I moved straight to the Imperial. And
yeah,
I was just like...
That was a real ass kicker.
Woo! Yeah, actually, that was a fun night.
Well, a quick aside on that.
Yep.
my now father-in-law, we were talking just the other day, and he was like, the beer you made, it was good, but it was a little stout. I had a couple of those, and I was really feeling it.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if he was joking. I don't think he was.
Yeah.
I was like, well, it was a stout.
It's literally an imperial stout.
It was a stout. Yeah. A stout is a little stout, yes. Anyway, it was a moment. It was a Seinfeld moment.
Plus, I mean, it was a warm day as well, so that's going to up the drunkenness. Anyway.
Plus, it's a wedding, which ups the drunkenness to begin with.
Absolutely. If there's any, it's like if you want to scream, go on a roller coaster. If you want to get drunk, go to a wedding. No, but your first dance song, that's fine. Big band songs are great because all big band songs are made to dance to. That's literally what they did, is they put a big band in a dance hall and people dance. That was the fucking DJs of the 40s.
Okay.
So anyway, but this guy, so they were like complaining because they want to play this Van Morrison song. And then like this other song that's like also kind of mid-tempo and also kind of weird. And it just bothers me a little bit. And I know that your wedding is your wedding. And if you want to play a bunch of songs and show how cool you are and like what a musical genius you are, then that's fine. And just do that. But if you want people to have fun and to party, because that's what a wedding is, right? It's a party.
A wedding is really not about you.
Exactly.
It's not about you. It's not about your person you're going to get married to.
Jesse,
it's about your family getting together and having a good time.
Because guess what? That's what the whole engagement process is. That's what the rest of your life is about you and your spouse being married to one another. That is your public coming out. That is your we want to party with everybody and this is our time to have our day and we want you all there and we're going to party and have fun.
And like literally they split the wedding parties like down the middle. They're like groom on the right, bride on the left, and you sit there divided in a group of people that you don't know,
yep.
And you're divided in these two teams like so much kickball game.
It's true.
But then the reception is a grand mingling.
Right.
And it's supposed to be fun for everyone and comfortable for everyone so that people that don't know each other but share a common interest in you as a couple get to know each other a little bit.
Jesse,
that's the whole point. It's not about you and your vows and blah, 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 blah. That's an afterthought.
Yeah, that's what I'm really happy that you said that because that's my philosophy is that weddings are not for the couple.
Mm-mm.
Weddings are for your guests, your family, your friends, everybody come together and have a good time.
Right.
What that means is that this is rule number one in wedding DJing is that you're going to play bad songs. Okay. There is a reason why Love Shack is played at every fucking wedding. And the reason is because people lose their fucking shit when they hear that song. Okay? And I don't know what it is about that song.
I think it's the voice.
People lose their shit. Like, the ladies, the shoes will be flying in the air. And they are going to be on the fucking dance floor.
It'll
and that's
look like
what you
a
want.
George W. Bush press conference in Iraq. Shoes will be flying so much.
Oh god, that's awesome. Oh god, you made me clap. You know, I laughed so hard that I clapped. That I got the clap.
That wasn't me.
So and that's the thing. Like Love Shack's a crappy song. I would never listen to Love Shack in my car. At a wedding, I will listen to Love Shack. Okay, that's fine. You want to play songs that people know because guess what? People only dance to songs that they know.
Yeah, you're not going to
You're not going
to
be like, oh,
it takes a brave soul to get out on the dance floor to a song that you're not familiar with.
Totally. People want to dance to shit they know.
That terrain is reserved for like your Neil Armstrong and your Magellans.
And your Eric Walquist. Or actually Dan Morford.
Dan Morford.
Friend of the show, Dan Morford, will dance to anything.
Dan Morford is the Neil Armstrong of dancing.
Totally. So that's rule number one. Rule number two is you don't need slow dance songs. Now, I understand that an adult wedding, you're probably going to want to have slow dance songs because grandma wants to get out there and dance. If you are like me and you know your grandma is not going to get up and dance, don't get slow dance songs.
Yeah.
People have a lot more fun dancing, shaking it to the oldies, like not Richard Simmons. Who's that guy? Yeah, that is Richard Simmons.
That's Richard Simmons.
I was thinking Russell Simmons. You know,
popping back up.
The Simmons brothers. Russell
and
Richard.
Let's get off your high knees. It's time for us to do a little dance. That's my Russell Simmons.
Congratulations. That was good, man. That was really good.
I was thinking Russell Brand. Oh, jeez. I feel like a total
we just did a full before and after category on Jeopardy. Anyway.
Russell Simmons is from Kiss?
No, Russell Simmons is the mogul. Simmons. He's the hip-hop mogul. Yeah, Gene Simmons is from Kiss.
I'm bad at this.
I made a little cutout. I don't know if you've seen it, but I drew this in college, and I actually laminated it because I worked at Multimedia Services, and I was bored, and we had a laminator. But it's Russell Simmons, Gene Simmons, and and Richard Simmons, and it says bros before hoes. Anyway.
Pretty good stuff.
You don't need a slow song.
Do you still have that?
I do.
Ah.
I still have it.
I look forward to seeing that proudly displayed on your wall soon. Yeah,
definitely. So you don't need slow songs, dude. Like, if you want to have a party.
Maybe for the last song.
Well, if
you start clearing people out.
No, see, I don't agree with that. I think if you're going to do slow songs, you do them at the beginning. You do all your slow songs within the first 15 songs. This is the other thing that bothered me about this caller was that she was like, oh, you know, he's only giving me 10 songs. 10 songs is an hour of music.
That's a lot. Yeah,
that's a lot. That's like 25% of the night.
I requested one song and thought that was too much.
It's just like let the people know do what they do. Like just say we want a party. And then my rule number three is that it is a lot of fun. It's good. It's a good idea to have a audience participation song. Okay. If you're in Nebraska, that's probably the chicken dance. I don't want the chicken dance at my wedding. For some people, it's the electric slide. For other people, it's the Macarena. Pick your generation. At my wedding, it was Gangnam Style because that song had like blown up over the summer and wasn't completely stale yet. And guess what, dude? Gangnam Style comes on. It's a huge hit because that is the opportunity for people who don't know how to dance and are a little afraid to dance to get up and dance. That's a gateway song, okay? Because like they don't have to think about it. They're just going to ride that horse like a South Korean mogul.
Right.
And they are going to do their thing, okay? So audience participation songs do it. Shout is another good one for a wedding, made very popular by Wedding Crashers. That's an audience participation song. So just do that. Audience participation, don't worry about whether the songs are great songs or not by great artists. You know, I love Death Cab for Cutie. I didn't have one Death Cab song at my wedding. And then also you don't necessarily need slow dance songs if you're having a party. Just
right.
Look for songs.
Yeah, it's a party. You can't forget that it's a big party.
Right, it's a party. And just look for songs. This is the rule of thumb. It's very, very simple. There are so many songs that are like this. If you're listening to the song and it has this as its basic beat, it's a dance song. That is a dance song. You can dance to it. Even white guys can shuffle back and forth to that shit. That is a dance song. Put all those in there. And I do have a full 6-hour dance party mix playlist. If you want that playlist, just email us at personalarrogance@gmail.com and I'll send it to you just like I sent it to Ollie James.
There needs to be some website that's like the 6-hour playlist open source website that's like you can vote on songs.
Yeah.
Like certain songs can get voted up and out and it'll like be constantly adapting to.
I don't love that because I think that there are a lot of people who think that there are good songs that aren't good songs to dance to. Just because it's a good song does not mean it's a good song to dance to.
Yeah, although I don't know. I feel like the majority, though. Like,
The cream should rise to the top.
Right.
And you have, there are two great songs that are out right now. Robin Thicke's Blurred Lines and Daft Punk featuring Pharrell Williams' Get Lucky.
Right.
Your DJ, who is Tasha's brother, played those back-to-back, and I literally almost had a heart attack because I was dancing so fucking hard to those songs. I was dancing so hard to those songs. So there's always a good song that's out, dude. And then you got to have the lasting power on the songs, too. Like, I always start off a mix with Whitney Houston's Want to Dance with Somebody, because that is a cross-generational hit, and it gets a lot of people on the dance floor right away.
Cool.
And then you just spin it into Robin Thicke, and then all of a sudden you got a fucking party on your hands. And then Love Shack happens, and then everybody has a seizure. And you're having a great time.
Then you killed 12 people.
You killed 12 people.
You fed the herd. All the both grandmas gone. That old uncle who was led an unhealthy lifestyle.
Right?
He's out.
He wasn't that old, but he looked old.
Yeah, exactly. That's half the point of weddings, is to, like, to clear the herd.
It's like a Viking wedding. Yeah. It's like a Game of Thrones wedding.
Yeah, two in, two out.
Yeah. All right, Jesse, what's your first topic?
Well, I want to talk about something that doesn't necessarily fall into any of our predefined categories, so deal
right.
with it.
Do it.
This is a section I call Jesse Wilson Says Deal With It.
Deal with it.
So I made a list, Eric, and so in my small, quaint village, the fishing village in which I live,
right,
there has been a ruckus.
Oh, really?
The whole town has been turned upside down in a world of controversy because they have decided, the local school board has decided to rename the school mascot.
Right.
So the high school mascot is the Port Townsend Redskins.
Yes.
Which they claim, literally they claim that it has nothing to do with Indians.
Right.
But then the actual mascot imagery is a Indian with a giant headdress on.
Yeah.
Which is not even a local thing.
No.
The headdress is a Plains Indians thing.
Yeah.
And,
anything, this should be a totem pole. But bunch of people think Plains Indians made totem poles. They're exactly. Lone Rangering this shit. They're just throwing them all in the same pot.
Yeah. So, the local school board has decided that the Redskins will be no more, and all the townies are having a fit. So I've compiled a list.
Excellent.
Of, the top 10 mascots that I hate.
Excellent.
So.
Oh, I thought we were going to name the new school.
We can do that later.
Okay.
Cause, you know, I don't want to just hate on stuff. I want to build it up.
Right.
So later we'll come up with some suggestions. But I just want to run through these. These are my 10 least favorite mascot names.
And are these pro sports teams?
These are all pro sports.
Okay. But a lot of high schools will draw from these names. I mean, they're pretty standard mascot names.
And I suspect you and I will disagree on some of these.
Okay.
So number 10, Eric.
Yep.
Dolphins.
I kind of like it.
The reason I don't like the Dolphins is, one, I'm not convinced there's that many Dolphins in Florida.
I'm pretty convinced of that, too. Like,
maybe
the Hawaii
there
Dolphins.
There are, but I'm pretty sure the whole Miami Dolphins thing is just flipper runoff.
Yeah, I think it's SeaWorld, dude.
Oh, you're right.
Fucking SeaWorld.
Yeah, they'd be like if we were the, we don't have an amusement park up here. The Great Wolf Lodges. The Wolves?
I found out Great Wolf Lodge is a chain. Did you know that?
Yeah, it's probably a regional thing.
It's a chain, though. I didn't, like, they have Great Wolf Lodges, like, everywhere.
Well.
It's weird. Anyway.
There you go.
Dolphins.
So I don't like the Dolphins.
I like the Dolphins a little bit because it kind of reminds me. I like the weak mascots. Like
I like weak mascots,
like,
too.
The Ducks. Like the Anaheim Ducks.
Or the Oregon Ducks. My team.
Right. The Oregon Ducks. Dude, don't even go there.
Dude, I'm a Ducks fan.
You cannot be a Ducks fan and live in Western Washington. Are you joking, dude?
I've been shopping it around.
We are want for good sports rivalries in this city, and that is like one of the very few now that the Sonics are gone.
You know what? Bring it on. I love the Ducks.
Oh my God. How can you
I'm
be
a Ducks
fan? Are you serious?
I like the Black Mamba. That one kid who plays for the Ducks, I also like how they get a snazzy new uniform every game.
Yeah, because they're fucking owned by Nike, which also now the Seahawks are, so.
Yeah, so whatever. Deal. Deal with it. This is Jesse Wilson's deal with
Wait,
it.
So
deal
they have a player everything. They have a player nicknamed the Black Mamba?
Yeah, he's like this he only gets like two touches a game, but he scores a touchdown like 50% of the time he gets his hands on the ball.
That's funny because that's also Kobe Bryant's nickname.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, he's a kid from like Compton, and he played in Snoop Dogg's like high school league.
Uh-huh.
And like Snoop Dogg is the one who, or sorry, Snoop Lion nicknamed him the Black Mamba. But anyway, number 9.
He's like, man, that's a good nickname. Yeah, because it's Kobe Bryant's nickname.
So
yeah, I know. I could do Snoop Dogg.
Okay, oh, so man. Number 9. Number 9, okay. The Kings.
Which one? There's the Sacramento Kings and the Los Angeles Kings.
Well, the thing, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
I mean, there are plenty of different sports teams that have the same mascot, you know?
See, why don't you like the Kings, though?
I don't like the Kings because it's like, so everyone on your team is a king? Kings? And then do you have a king of kings on your team? And is that person Jesus? I don't like it. It's confusing. It's like if you told an eight-year-old to come up with the team name, you'd be like, I'm the king, so we're the kings. And then it's like, I'm a king too.
That's true.
We're all kings.
Yeah, like knights makes a lot more sense because you can have multiple knights.
Mm-hmm. You need some hierarchy here. Like you're all kings.
That's true.
That doesn't work.
I'm with you on kings. I'm with you
okay.
on kings.
Number 8, Pirates. Pirates,
what?
Buccaneers, otherwise. Not known as being great team players, Pirates.
They're great
fact,
on their own team. They're great for their own team.
They're constantly backstabbing each other. And also, we have this thing called the Golden Age of Piracy that got stamped out pretty quickly.
The reason why I like the Pittsburgh Pirates a lot, first of all, they have like one of the best stadiums in major leagues. Second of all, they have one of the best throwback uniforms in the major leagues. In the late 70s, they had like the craziest hat in the major leagues.
Really?
Third of all, this year they played the Mariners. In both a home and away series, and they I think they won 3 of the 4 games. So basically, the Pirates destroyed the Mariners, which I think is hilarious from a rhetorical standpoint.
Yeah, it's good for that goof only.
It's
but
a goof.
I'm just saying, Pirates. When you want a team, when you want someone who respects authority, who's going to be a team player, if you want a cohesive unit, Pirates aren't necessarily the best men for the job.
Okay.
All right. So. Number 7 here are eagles, falcons, and other non-specific birds.
Seahawks?
Seahawks is okay because that's specific.
Seahawk is the most non-specific bird. It is the nickname for an osprey.
Right.
Like, nobody uses the term. Nobody uses the term. How is that different than a falcon or an eagle?
Because an eagle, it's like, what kind of eagle are you? Are you a gold eagle? Are you a bald eagle? Are you one of those other eagles that I can't remember right now? Same with falcons. They're like peregrine falcons or all sorts of types of falcons.
Or the hawks.
Narrow it down.
Yeah.
This is why I like the Bengals. It's a specific type of big cat.
Specific tiger. I guess, dude. But like Seahawk is a slang term for an osprey.
Yeah, but it's still only one species of bird.
Mm.
We're not talking about 6 different types of birds at once here.
Okay. That's true. It narrows it down. I got you there. All right.
Moving on. 6 here. Raiders/Vikings.
Okay.
See, this is tough for me because... Uh-huh.
Yeah, Scandinavian.
The rugby game. Well, Scandinavian for one thing, but I'm no Viking apologist.
Yeah, that's
Vikings
probably a good thing, actually. They were terrible people.
The rugby team I root for are the Canberra Raiders.
Well, and also I'm junior high. I went to Ridgetop Raiders, baby.
Oh, there you go. And your favorite player in the NFL, Matt Flynn, plays for the Raiders now.
That has changed.
So anyway, basically, especially with Raiders, Vikings, those groups of
pillagers.
People in history, they came in, they murdered everyone.
Murdered everybody.
And so you're going to name your entire football team after murderers. These were horrible people. Sure, they got the job done when it came to killing, but, like, the random murdering
they
and
were,
plundering.
You cannot be a Viking/barbarian/raider apologist. They were completely horrible human beings.
Right.
That's like naming your team the Cons.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Yeah.
Genghis Khan story that you told me, just, can you tell it really quick? Because that blew my mind.
Well, I definitely recommend anyone listening to download.
It's a little too long for now.
Yeah, Dan Carlin's Hardcore History. He did a 3-part series on the cons and just the horrific stuff.
Horrific.
That the cons did.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. Okay, so what are we at? Number 5?
So, moving into 5 here, top 5. Teams with confusing regional names that no longer make sense, such as the LA Lakers.
Right.
Formerly the Minnesota Lakers, you know. So.
Utah Jazz. Formerly the New Orleans
Jazz.
Yeah,
exactly. That's my second one.
Yep.
Utah Jazz.
I think it's funny.
No sense. In fact, if there's going to be a state that I equate the least with jazz music, it's going to be Utah.
Probably. See, the interesting thing is that right now the New Orleans Hornets are in New Orleans, but this year they are no longer the Hornets. They are renaming the team. They are now the New Orleans Pelicans.
Right.
Couldn't they just make a deal with the Jazz? That they get to be the Jazz again, and then the Jazz like become the Joseph Smiths or whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So, like the Jazz, like the Utah's not doing that great right now in basketball. So why don't this is a perfect time to change your name to something that is more relevant to your state.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then like
but then they're gonna move to Seattle. It'll be the Seattle
Joseph
Smiths.
Well, no, that's the thing. Like the Pelicans are gonna end up moving to Seattle. It's like what the. But then we'll be like, it's a Halo thing.
Right, exactly. I like it.
Yeah. All right, so number 4 here, getting down to the nitty-gritty.
Oh, yeah.
Canucks and Canadians.
Yeah, that is weird.
I find it weird because it's like, we're the Canucks. It's like, okay, every one of your opponents is Canadian.
Uh-huh.
For one. So right. You're the only Canadians. And then...
And most of you are from Russia.
Yeah, most of you are from Russia or France.
Right.
And then you have the Canadians.
Right.
And then, so when I did a little research for this,
right,
the Montreal Canadiens, I found out I hate them even more because they spell it Canadiens.
They're the it's French. It's the French spelling of Canadians.
I know. Even worse.
But the funniest thing about them is that they're called the Haps.
What?
That's their nickname is the Haps.
Why?
I have no idea. They're the Haps, so.
I'm sure it's something stupid in French. All right, number 3.
Okay.
I have the Braves, Chiefs, and Blackhawks.
Right. And also Redskins also in there?
Well, no.
Cleveland Indians?
It's because they're the non...
they're not...
they're not super racist.
Right, they're not hot button enough.
Casually kind of... benefiting off of an oppressed peoples.
Well, yeah, and they had like so. New Era came out with a whole new slew of batting practice hats this year, and they had like all the secondary logos. So they had like Mr. Met, and they had like the elephant for the A's were on there. And they sent out the preliminary designs, and they had what they called the Whooping Brave.
Oh God!
Which is basically just like a stereotypical, you know, Native American screaming. And they got a bunch of flack for that. And they're like, oh, we're just joking. That was a concept design. And then they, like, put out another hat.
Yeah.
But it's like, come on, guys.
That's the thing. Like, Braves, maybe it's not that bad in general. But then you get the fans and they're like, we're going to do the tomahawk chant.
Right.
Like,
tomahawk chop.
Okay. You guys have taken it a step too far.
And the thing is, it's been so ingrained in our culture that... it's people are very used to it at this point. You grow up with it. But the fact of the matter is, like, you couldn't have, like, the Portland Chinese or, or like, the Chicago Blackskins or, like, you can't, it's just because it's been ingrained in the culture doesn't mean that it's not offensive.
The Sacramento railroad workers, and it's like a stereotypical Chinese guy with a big straw hat.
Yeah.
Like, that wouldn't fly. Also, falling into this category is the Fighting Irish.
Yeah, that's interesting. Double standard there.
Uh-huh. It's a little bit racist that all Irish people are fighting all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, they're just fighting because they're drunk.
It's a drunk leprechaun.
It's a drunken leprechaun.
Right.
It's their mascot.
Right. How do you feel about the Celtics, though?
Mostly, well, one, I think it's silly that it's Celtics, not Celtics.
Totally.
Which is weird.
Yep.
And two, I just find it, like, kind of funny and ironic.
Irish people.
There's no, like, freckled, you know, pot-bellied redhead like myself.
Now you're being stereotypical.
I'm just describing myself.
Okay. All right, so we're on number 3?
Number 2, Redskins and Indians.
Right. Same
deal,
though.
That's just bad.
Yeah, like, Redskins and Indians are... And the, like... the Indians did go away from their smiling Indian logo.
Right.
So now they just have the C on their hats. But, dude, Cleveland has a – they have a like a terrible baseball culture. Cleveland Indians have not been a good team over their existence. So they're not really catering to anything. And plus, there is a very historical National League team that was based in Cleveland in the early 1900s called the Cleveland Spiders. They should rename themselves Cleveland Spiders.
Oh, wow, that's badass.
Yes, it's a super badass, dude. Nobody is the Spiders. It's a cool thing. They would sell a ton of merchandise. And guess what? You're not racist anymore.
Yeah, Jay-Z should buy that.
Dude, the Cleveland Spiders would be badass.
Yeah, anyway. So my number one worst mascot in the history of sports team mascots.
Yep.
The Trojans.
Why? Come on.
Because they're suckers. It's a cautionary tale that survives from the ancient era about don't be a freaking idiot and let a giant hollow wooden thing into your building that's supposed to be impregnable, and then everyone dies and is massacred.
See,
and we're supposed to be proud of that? We're the Trojans. Well, we just let everyone in our town get killed.
And the reason why this is number one, listener, is because Jesse and I both went to Olympic High School. Yeah. Where the mascot was the Trojans.
Yeah, and on...
And in high school, you will get condoms thrown to you at football games.
Well, at football games also, they would do some face paintings, and maybe they'll paint a little T on your cheek, or an OHS, or maybe a Trojan horse, because that's not what killed all the Trojans, you idiots.
There is this, there is this need to name name teams after like ancient Greek mythology and also societies.
Right.
So you have Spartans, you have the Trojans, you have the Giants, which is part of that. The Giants were
well, the Titans.
Yeah, and the Titans as well. That's the Titanic was actually in a series of three boats. There was the Britannic, the Titanic, and the third one was going to be the Gigantic, which is a terrible name, but. But yeah, it all plays into like Greek mythology and that sort of thing. But the Trojans are the suckers, dude.
Yeah, they are the saps of the the final battle of all the great, coming together of Greek mythology, this big war with all the heroes,
right.
And it's the Trojans who are a bunch of dummies and get duped and end up all dead.
Yeah.
Like, let's name our great sports team after them.
Like, we were Olympic High School, so I understand that they're trying to get a Greek bent on that because we're Olympic High School. But
be the Spartans.
Be the Spartans, or how about the gods? I know it might be a little controversial, but I think the gods would be awesome.
I will take gods over Redskins.
Yeah, dude. Go for it. Washington gods, do it.
Well, the Titans were gods before the gods.
Oh.
Like, the Titans were the parents of the Olympian gods.
Really, we should have been the Titans.
Yeah, that would make a lot more sense. Or the Spartans or the Athenians.
Yeah.
Athenians a little weak.
I don't like the Athenians. Spartans, I mean, that's a warrior culture. That's what you want.
Right. They were also a bunch of slave-owning psychopaths.
Yeah, but they were warriors. And they were in the movie 300, so that's all I care about.
Yeah, you got that. So there you go. My 10 least favorite sports... mascots.
That was super fun. If there's one thing I could talk about all day, it's sports mascots and uniforms. So
let's just throw out a couple that we do like. I like the banana slugs.
For the Port Townsend?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that too. That's local. It's fun.
Geriatrics.
There are a lot. Just how about old hippies?
Yeah.
There are a lot of old hippies in Port Townsend. I was thinking this, dude, and I keep coming back to this, but I think it would be great is Port Townsend Sasquatch.
Yeah, Sasquatch
I think that you're going to get a lot of kids happy about that as their mascot. Right.
Problem solved.
Problem
I'll take that
solved.
To the school board meeting.
All right, I watched it. They had it on the news, the school board meeting where people were arguing for this.
Oh, really?
And it was just a bunch of like old, like middle aged guys who like had their glory days in high school
exactly.
football.
They peaked in high school.
And really, dude?
I was a Redskin, and I was proud to be a Redskin. And some of the best days of my life, I was a Redskin on playing football on the state.
No, you were a high schooler. That's what
you
were.
A dumb dummy who was probably drunk and high. And that's why you work in the mill now.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah. All right. Well, that was a really fun conversation. I enjoyed that a lot, Jesse. Thank you for bringing that topic. So let's move on to our break. Usually we would do trivia here, but guess what, guys? Last week, Aaron and Jim came on here, and they bastardized a segment of the Magic Card Minute in the most glorious way possible. Listening to their accents.
They were glorious bastards.
They were glorious bastards. And they were arrogant bastards by default as well. But we got to bring the Magic Card Minute back.
All right.
Just to do it right. This idea was conceived, I believe, on a drive between Providence, Rhode Island, and Boston.
I want to say it was on the way back from New York.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, there's a lot of that was a pivotal car ride for this podcast.
Yeah.
Came up
it
with
was.
The theme song and also Magic Minute. So, we're each going to be senators from Massachusetts filibustering Congress with nothing but our kids' magic cards in our hands. And so we're going to do this right. But not to say that I didn't love and cracked up immensely to what Aaron and Jim did last week.
I lost it. Oh, gee, Jim was so bad.
What do you think? He's self-aware, though. Like, he knows that his Boston accent is an Australian accent.
It's Little Sydney is a suburb of southeastern Boston.
Yeah, the southeast Sydney's. All right, Jesse, you want to go first or you want me to go first?
You go first.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm bringing to you Shamble Shock today. It's 2 mana, 1 green, 1 blue. He's a creature and he's a fish crab. I know a few things about fish crabs from my father. Fishing out in the bay every day of his life. I'm becoming Christopher Walken. Okay, here we go. This creature has flash. You may play the spell at any time. You could cast an instant. And it also has evolve. Whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, if that creature has a greater power or toughness than this creature, put a +1/+1 counter on this creature. It's a 2/1 coming into the battlefield. Now, the junior senator from Texas will not recognize that evolve is an actual keyword on this magic card. But I say to him, bring out a 3/3 and see what happens to the Shamble Shock. So let's move on to my second topic of the show. My second topic this week is going to be an interesting article that surfaced this week on Edge/online.com. Edge/online.com. Bringing you news from the edge. So this got linked to a bunch of different sites, including Polygon. 11X, WEP, Midway, Cyber Playground, Face, the rejected names for Microsoft's first console.
Oh, no way. Is this real?
It's totally real. So apparently, you know, and we bemoaned the name of the X-Bone. That is a ridiculous name for a console. Especially since it's the third.
The worst possible name.
Yeah.
It's even worse than the Xbox Trojan.
Literally, Xbox Zero would be better.
Also, let us not pass up the opportunity to comment on the fact that there's an entire brand of condoms called Trojans.
Yep.
And the Trojans got impregnated. They thought they were impregnable, and the thing snuck in and then killed everyone.
It snuck in and killed everyone. It was a Trojan horse.
It was
literally
loaded. It was loaded with people, little people swarming in their goo and everything, and they snuck in and did their damage. That's what we need to name our contraceptive company.
Oh my god, that's totally true.
Name them. The Quebec, the only walled city in America. I'm pretty sure Quebec's never been invaded.
Even in the War of 1812?
I don't think so. Right. I'm pretty sure Canada kind of stomped us on that one.
Well, what are you going to do? All right, so these are the original names of the Xbox. So apparently when the Xbox came out way back in, what was that, 2001? 2003? Something like that. Early 2000s.
It was like one or two.
Yeah, I think it's 2001. they were like, oh, we want to name this the Xbox. And they were like, dudes, and I've dealt with this before. The legal department comes in, they say, guys, there's already like 14 different companies called Xbox. And so you need to come up with a new name. So they were like, all right, well, let's figure this out. And for some reason, they went straight to acronyms, which is the word. First of all, it's a complete computer thing.
Yeah, like, acronyms are not good.
Every technical guy is like, oh, we'll just make it an acronym. Don't make it an acronym. Acronyms are bad. Names are good. Like, Steve Jobs made Apple.
Yeah.
They made Windows, which is actually a great name for the program.
Windows is good. Apple is bad.
Apple is bad, but now, I mean, it's a signifier. Like, you're able to build a brand around that, because a brand is not a logo. It's not the name of your product. A brand is how you feel about the product. When you think about the product, how you feel about it. That's the brand. And Apple was able to just take a very generic word.
I'm afraid of what people feel when they hear personal arrogance.
I know. or personal podcast at personal podcast on Twitter handle. This is a super name heavy podcast, but anyway, they decided to come out with a bunch of acronyms for the Xbox. So I'm going to run a few of these by you, J-Dog, and see what you think.
Mm.
The Max, which is the Microsoft Action Experience.
Experience starts with an E.
Right.
But so does Exposition.
Once again, these are all IT guys.
Max is really bad.
Okay. How about the Mind? The Microsoft Mind. The Microsoft Interactive Network Device.
Stop making it a Microsoft something.
All right, fine. How about this? The Microsoft Face. The full...
What?
The full Action Center.
That's fact.
Everybody, I know, there's no E on the end of that. But
that should have not ever even been considered.
I like how the Face is the full Action Center.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. How about this? The Myth, the Microsoft Myth, which stands for the Microsoft Interactive Theater.
Myth.
Yeah.
That one's better.
It's a little better.
That's
how about this?
The leader in the clubhouse.
The Microsoft Lex. Which is the live entertainment experience.
Well, they kept the live.
This one is my favorite one. It is the Microsoft Mox, which is the Microsoft Optimal experience, not the Microsoft Action experience.
Max Mox.
Right.
Should be the Mac Mox.
The Max Mox.
The Max Mox Xbox.
There's also the Microsoft E2, which is the Extreme experience.
E2 Tambien.
Uh-huh. There's the Microsoft...
That could be the next one. That could be the second console.
This is so funny because this was totally done by some dude at Redmond. The Microsoft MTG, which stands for Microsoft Total Gaming.
That's good. Yeah. That one I like.
You got the Microsoft VIP, the Virtual Interactive Player. The Microsoft Mars with a Z. Microsoft...
Okay, you cannot just co-opt another acronym. And change it into a different thing. That doesn't work, by the way.
Well, it's not the VIP, dude. It's the VIP.
Okay, it's the VIP.
The Microsoft Mars, which is the Microsoft Active Reality Zone.
Wow. These are, I mean.
This is so bad.
These weren't actually considered,
they
right?
They were. These were actually considered. And
These are horrid.
The reason why is because they... couldn't think of a better name than Xbox, and then they came up with all this shit, and they're like, yeah, let's just go with Xbox. Let's just take the legal hit.
Xbox is sounding good right now.
Yeah. How about the Microsoft R&R, which is the Microsoft Reality and Revolution?
That doesn't even make sense.
No, that's another they're co-opting their retro, what is that called, retrofitting?
Right.
Retconning. They're retconning R&R.
Yeah, exactly.
What about we got the Microsoft Mega, which is awesome because it is really long. It's a Microsoft Entertainment and Gaming Attendant, or the Microsoft.
Excuse me, sir. Would you like to play Halo today?
Would you like to play a game?
Why do I always feel like I have to tip my game console? Or every time I select something, it holds out the disc tray.
It holds out this weird tray. It only works if I put money in it.
Yeah.
Or the Microsoft Entertainment and Gaming Assembly.
Assembly.
The Microsoft Odyssey of the Mind, which is literally just a program for school children that they also retconned into making a video game. Like, that was just somebody who was in Odyssey of the Mind.
Was that's vaguely familiar. Yeah. What was the deal with that?
It was like a weird competition where you like had to like invent stuff or like you had to make creative solutions to problems. But it was like an after school program.
Mm. And yeah, that guy was definitely
It was in definitely that. In Washington, which means that this guy probably was in it as a kid.
Yeah, but this is a very non Odyssey of the Mind approach to just steal the name right? of something earlier. Yes. Except that's probably how he got in it, is like he just stole someone else's idea.
Yeah. The Microsoft P2, which is very similar to the PS2.
The P2. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, which stands for Power Play.
The Microsoft, for two players.
I like this one because it has a number in it. The Microsoft IS-1, the interactive system in one, which would have been fine if it were, since it was the first console.
Right.
They got the Microsoft AMP, the active Microsoft player.
I prefer a passive Microsoft player myself.
We had the P2. We also have the O2, which is the optimal ozone, which I love, or the optical odyssey.
Wait. Oh, my God. What was the first one?
It's the worst. The Microsoft optimal ozone.
What does that even mean?
I have no idea.
Also, O2 is not ozone. Like,
no.
This
is oxygen.
O3 is ozone.
O2 is just oxygen.
Yeah, that's the oxygen molecule and it's noble gas, whatever. O3 is ozone, though.
Yeah. And then,
so the O2 stands for something ozone, which is O3.
And then finally we have the MET, which is the Microsoft Entertainment Technology or Microsoft Entertainment Theater.
That one's actually not that bad compared.
It's really not. The MET, I like. I really like the MOX.
MET and MOX, MAX, and Ozone.
Oh, I like this one too, the MARC. Microsoft Action Reality Center.
The Mark Griffin.
The Mark Griffin, why not? Oh man, so many terrible names. But they after they came up with all these, they just said, "Oh, we're just going to call it the Xbox."
I like the Microsoft Banana Slug myself.
Me too. I like the Microsoft Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Why not, dude? Just make it something weird. All of these game companies are like, it's the Game Stick or it's the
That's
Ouya.
True. And it's always really cheesy. Right. PlayStation did it right. I mean, PlayStation itself is kind of cheesy, but it's become so meta now.
Right.
When you hear PlayStation, you don't think Play and Station. It's just become its own, like, gray noise.
Well, I feel like it's a term that has been adopted by moms. So, like, when we were kids, if you were on a video game console, your mom said, hey, you're on
Get
the Nintendo.
The Game Station.
Or the Nintendo. Like, every game, yeah. every game thing was a Nintendo. I feel right. like nowadays, every mom is saying it's a PlayStation, no matter what it is.
Don't try too hard.
That's like, you know.
Like, Xbox One, mm-hmm. you're trying way too hard. PlayStation 4, fantastic name. We're already, like, indoctrinated right. into the PlayStation as a thing. Just keep naming it that. Other bad ones, like GameCube was pretty bad. What was the Sega? Oh, Dreamcast was really bad.
Yep.
I don't know. I just like the numbers. Like, Nintendo 64 was great. Wii and Wii U, like, Wii U especially is a disaster of a name.
It is, because it's literally a joke from Kung Pao yeah. into the Fist.
Wii U, Wii U, Wii U.
Let's go with the Sasquatch. That's like, you know, it's like they do. They have all the platforms.
What about,
like,
the Totem?
That
Xbox
is
Xbox Totem. You don't like it?
If you can't have Redskins, dude, you can't have Totem.
This is an homage.
You can't
it's
have
not
it both
a...
ways. You can't have it both ways.
I don't know.
Okay. So Jesse, what's your Seco Topo?
Well, I thought I could do a little topic that I call Bend Over and Deal With It.
Okay.
One podcaster's journey to his new favorite city.
Oh, very nice.
So I went to Bend, Oregon for my honeymoon. If you don't know, Bend is becoming something of a brewer's town, a craft beer town.
Absolutely.
Which is why Tosh and I chose to go there. The most famous brewery located there is Deschutes.
Deschutes. Yep.
For a second, I was like, is that just the name of one of their beers and they have another name? But no, Deschutes.
No, they're Deschutes.
Deschutes Mirror Pond, Black Butte, Red Chair, Northwest Pale Ale. The list goes on. So we went there, and there's a lot of really cool things going on in that town. For one thing, though, I was a little surprised by the terrain. For some reason, I thought it was going to be more like coastal feel with like being very lush with big trees and green grass and lots of moisture. And I think I thought this because I had just seen the Mirror Pond.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, it's labels. Basically like Denver, right? It's kind of the same terrain as Denver, isn't it?
Well, no, it's more like Wenatchee. It's like high desert.
Oh, okay.
And when you're like 10 minutes out of town in this town called Redmond, it's like you're in the fucking desert, man. There's no cactus, but it's all like shrubs and like yellowness and dirt and like crazy buttes. Like sticking out of the ground like it's Monument Valley or something. But so I was a little bit surprised by that. But the thing that drew us there was the Ale Trail. And this is something that the Bend Tourism Department has kind of done as like, come to Bend. We have this thing called the Ale Trail. We give you this piece of paper. You get it stamped at each of these 11 breweries, and then we give you a cool prize when you're done. And this became sort of like a quest for me.
Right.
To complete the Ale Trail.
Yeah.
So, like, the first stop we did was this place called Silver Moon.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard of it, but they've won some prizes for, like, Pilsners, their lagers and stuff. It was good. Had a good time there. Moved on after that to the Deschutes Brew Pub. And it was pretty cool. It's like a brew pub downtown. And they have, like, special stuff that you can only get there. Mm-hmm. And I had a hamburger there.
Nice.
It was pretty good.
And did then, you get like, the Twilight on tap?
They had Twilight, but I didn't have it there. Because there's so much other good stuff to have.
You got to try that. You got to try what you haven't tried.
Yeah, exactly. And they had like a bunch of pub exclusive stuff, so we tried that. And then I went to Bend Brewing Company.
Yep.
And here, like, I hit a problem that I had the entire time, which is bad service.
All throughout Bend?
All throughout Bend. Horrible table service when you're at restaurants. Like, getting ignored. For me, like, I feel like it's criminal when my drink glass is empty. Sure, like, I finish my beer or whatever, and then people, like, they don't come by to, like, see if you want another drink.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm basically asking for more booze right now by not being gone.
Exactly. I'm just sitting here.
I'm sitting here, and then they'll, like, walk by, talk to another table, and do that thing that only servers do where they, like, don't look at you, you know, and just, like, walk off into the distance. Like,
So this is something that servers do in Oregon.
This is have you had this experience?
Yeah, this is kind of like Portland experience.
Yeah, Portland is a similar.
You know, it's like you could say what you want about the Seattle chill, but like the waiters here want to get tips.
Right.
Like they are attentive. And anytime I go to Oregon, it's just kind of very happy-go-lucky. We don't really give a shit.
But here's the flip side to that coin, Eric. You and I are ridiculously passive people.
So
maybe is it on us because we're not like being like, excuse me, could I please get a blah 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 over here?
I feel like if you did that, they'd hate you even more.
Yeah, but I mean, is the result to be liked or is the result to get your beer glass?
The results get the beer, and frankly, the more beer I have, the more direct I get. So where'd you go next?
Okay, so after we called it a night at that point, then we went to 10 Barrel the next day, had some bad beer and bad service there, and a bad pizza. So, I don't know about
that. It's actually their slogan. bad beer, bad service, bad pizza. They're very hipster.
That said, Bend, there's like no hipsters in Bend.
Yeah.
It was a refreshing change of pace. We spent the night in Portland before. And I was in Portland for like 20 minutes, and I was like, I am not cool enough to live in this city. That is a fact.
Portland is a weird place, dude. Like, I don't know. Like, there are a lot of people who just moved to Portland. But like, for me, Portland would be an extremely uncomfortable place to live.
It would be tough.
Yeah. Like, I think of Portland as a very intimidating city to try to get into. Like, literally, I am more intimidated by Portland than I am of New York City.
Wow.
Yeah. It's an intimidating place.
Yeah. I don't know if I go that far, but I'm just not cool enough to live in a city. I couldn't live in Seattle. I couldn't live in Portland.
Dude, we were out in Coeur d'Alene. I was like, dude, Jesse would like this.
Probably. I spent like 3 days in Bend, and I'm already looking at apartments.
Hey, man, why not, dude? It's the brewery capital of Pacific Northwest.
Well, actually, keep it under wraps, which is why I'm podcasting about it. But I did get something of a job offer.
Hey, now.
And it's not in Bend.
Hey, now.
Very coincidentally, met someone from Port Angeles there. And was like, you know, you might be, you might need to be on the team, so.
In Port Angeles, though?
Here's the thing. I don't like Port Angeles.
Right.
But I love everywhere 20 minutes outside of Port Angeles.
Okay.
Or even 10 minutes. So if I lived, like, on the outskirts of Port Angeles, I think it'd be pretty dope.
Yeah, but you're not in the rain shadow.
I know. It would rain more. But pros. And
less hippies, more vampires?
No, more like psycho meth fueled loggers.
Yeah, that's what I was. I didn't want to be that harsh on them.
Well,
but you are a foot ferry away from Victoria, British Columbia.
Exactly.
As well.
You leave the cultural sphere of Seattle altogether and enter the cultural sphere of Victoria, British Columbia.
Victoria, British Columbia, I'm not going to lie, is one of my favorite cities in the world. Probably this is my second favorite city behind Seattle.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I'm a homer. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, all right.
Victoria is like the clean Vancouver.
I like Vancouver a lot.
Vancouver's pretty gritty in parts, though. That's what they don't tell you.
Oh, it's not even pretty gritty.
It's very gritty.
It's the definition of grit.
And I don't know if this is because we, like, decided to stay in the crack house.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's some gritty, gritty parts of Vancouver.
The city of Vancouver watched True Grit with Jeff Bridges and was like, bitch, you don't got nothing on this shit.
Whatever. They hosted the Olympics. What are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. World City. So anyway, that could happen. So the next day, 10 Barrel, we did Cascade Lakes and Brew Works. Nothing all that exciting until we wrapped up the night at this place called Crux Fermentation Project.
Right.
You would love it. Super cool building.
Ooh.
In the, like, kind of a hard place to get to, but it was like jam packed.
Okay.
And it's just a little bit outside of town, and they have like the most gorgeous view of the sunset, and like on their board, like right where they have all their tap, all the stuff on tap and everything, they like have the daily sunset, you know, time, so that you know when to be there to watch the sunset, like from this amazing place, and like the sun phase and the like gorgeous orangey purple goodness. And the beer was really good. And then the next day we went, anyway, we wrapped it up, went to Boneyard, Worthy, and one other place. We ended up going to 11 breweries.
Did you get the prize? What's the prize?
Oh, the prize. So that's the thing. Like, we have three more to do on our last day. Like, we check out of the hotel, and we have to drive back to Portland that day.
And how long is that drive?
It's a three-hour drive.
Okay. Not too bad.
Not too bad, but still, it's like...
It's a little bad after three breweries.
We're going to do three breweries. So we figure out, like, the way... Like, we don't get loaded or anything, but...
Right, right.
We check out these three other breweries. then you have to like turn your Ale Trail passport deal into the like the tourism office or whatever downtown. And when we went to our first place, the Silver Moon, this lady was like, make sure you each get one and get it stamped at each place, because me and my husband did this a while ago, and they only gave us one glass. Okay. So I was like, sweet, we're gonna get a fucking cool pint glass out of this, right?
Right.
So we do all this, fast forward 3 days, get it all done, all 11 breweries, hand it in, and we get these, like, rubbery little things that hold, like, 6 ounces, and they're called silly pints.
What?
Yeah, and it says, like, I completed the Bend Ale Trail.
Is it spelled with a Z? Silly pints?
It should be silly pints. It's, like, something I'm never going to drink out of. Like,
oh, no.
The only upside is I'll be able to, like, give it to my daughter when she's learning how to drink out of a cup because it's, like, made out of rubber.
Yeah, the only thing I like to drink out of more than cans is rubber.
Yeah.
Exactly. Give me some rubber to drink this beer out of. It'll give it a really good flavor.
I would never drink a beer out of it. So, like, the whole thing was kind of silly to complete it and get that the silly pint.
It's literally silly.
But but still, like, I fell in love with Bend. I am sending out resumes.
Cool.
I would love to move down there. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, dude. I'd come visit you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure you would. I also went to 2 breweries in Portland and 1 distillery in Hoodsport, Hoodsport, Washington. So,
cool. Where'd you go in Portland?
Went to Burnside, which was pretty good.
Yep.
And then went to Cascade Barrel House, of course.
Of course. I haven't had my Cascade beer yet. I'm saving it for a special occasion.
Yeah, good. That's going to be a good beer, and that's only going to get better as it ages. Just drink it within, like, the next 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, totally. All right, man. So, Bend, Oregon, how many stars are you giving it?
Out of how many?
25.
26.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
I like it. So that's all of our topics for this week. We just want to tell you about baldmove.com, guys. Baldmove.com.
Mm-hmm. All the pee-pee and poo-poo talk you can handle.
Yeah, I know. If you want to talk about peeing.
Holding your pee in.
These are the guys that you want.
Uh-huh.
Because they will talk about it. Unfortunately, like, they are holding their pee in because they don't have anything to talk about right now. Game of Thrones is done. Mad Men is done. They're waiting for Breaking Bad to start up. Some cool things, though. I don't know how many hours are going to be left. It might be done because I think it finishes tomorrow. But the Breaking Good Kickstarter is just wrapping up. And the cool thing about it is not only did I design a shirt for the Seattle Mariners, I'm actually designing the T-shirt for these guys as well.
Jesus, Eric.
Which I'm really excited about. We got 2 designs up right now. One of them is a Zamboni-inspired design, which I'm really excited about. It's the Heisenberg Zambonis, best ice pushers or best ice jockeys in Albuquerque. And then we also have a cool cigarette ad, which is the Blue Sky Smokes now with even more ricin. I'm very excited about it. And so you're going to get an Eric designed t-shirt and whatever else. So if you haven't contributed yet, do it now because you have like a few minutes to do it. So just do it right now. And of course, we want to thank Aaron and Jim for being on the podcast last week and filling in for us. And then we've got other stuff on there. I don't know, man. I don't know.
I do love they were giving us a hard time for resigning the podcast to them on Independence Day.
I know, that was
good. Aaron's like, it's as though you had a 4th of July party and the Queen of England DJ'd it. It's like, oh, so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So actually the best party ever?
Right. I don't know. I actually don't know what song she would pick. Probably a lot of Morrissey. So anyway, and also on baldmove.com, guys, because show, it's chugging along. There's a lot of stuff going on in Geraldine and Amy, and there's a lot of stuff going on in that show. So you need to tune in because it is a great, great show, and it's very entertaining. And my wife listens to it every week, and I listen to it as well. And then, of course, we got Upstairs, Up Yours Downstairs, guys. They're just covering everything Masterpiece. If it's on Masterpiece, they're going to cover it until Downton Abbey comes back. But they're going to get your British fix fixed because they love it as much as you do. So check out Up Yours Downstairs. And that's baldmove.com, guys. baldmove.com. We're on there as well. Let's move on to the Facebook roundup. What do you say, J-Dog?
Let's.
We got a lot of awesome stuff this week. Most of it responding to the Australian/Boston accents from last week's show. Andy Burke says, please no Boston Australian accents. Well, we got the Boston in there. And Mitch Netzer's happy because he said, all I wanted was Boston Australian accents. I guess I'm just asking for Eric rapping about his PAX expectations then. Any PAX-y hopefuls? Dude, I'm just so excited. PAX is like 50 days away.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, we're still waiting to hear back on our media badges, but if we get media badges, we are going to media the shit out of this thing.
I'm guessing we won't because it's been a while since we've heard from
them. No, they're keeping in touch. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
But if we get media badges, we're going to media the shit out of this thing. You got GTA 5. It's coming out in September. That's definitely going to be playthrough at PAX. So I'm really excited about that because all of the playthrough videos look really cool. I just want to play everything. Like, I've been watching all this stuff on Black Flag on the Assassin's Creed. For some reason, Assassin's Creed always reminds me of Christmas. Like, even though Black Flag is, like, taking place in the Caribbean during the pirate era, it reminds me of Christmas because I always get Assassin's Creed games for Christmas. And so I'm like, oh, it's cold. I don't know. There's just a ton of shit I'm really excited about. I'm excited about the Indie Showcase. I'm excited about Paint and Take and getting Zen
yeah.
on.
I got a Paint and Take. I think I'm going to Paint and Take every day this
Me
year.
Me too. I'm totally going to Paint and Take every day.
I think Paint and Raid.
Everybody needs to Paint and Take every day because it's your great decompression.
Oh, nothing is better for a PAX hangover.
Yeah, and Paint and Take.
And sitting down with a paintbrush.
Bring your headphones.
A little cobalt.
Bring your headphones. Listen to Personal Arrogance. Or...
I like to talk to the folks.
I don't like to do that.
I like to better know a PAX attendee.
Because last time in there, there was some dude talking about his D&D game at the top of his lungs and decided everybody in the room needed to hear about it.
Eric, okay, can we do this at PAX this year?
What?
Can we do a Paint and Take podcast?
I like it. Let's do it. Yes. Although you are way better at painting than I am, just want to say.
That's fine. We'll talk about that on the podcast. We also need to get Aaron on that because I need to talk to him about generation ships because I feel like that was a half-digested topic. There's still a lot of great information about generation ships.
Well,
to be
yeah, I think they missed a few things. Like, first of all, if you're born into a overbearing society, like you're Spartan. Basically, like you don't know what free will is if you build the society correct.
We will save this for the Paint and Take path.
The other thing is that
podcast.
It blew my mind when I was like, oh yeah, we actually just are on a generational starship. But unfortunately, it's going nowhere.
Well, that's the thing. Like if you can't control, like all of this conversation is predicated on the premise that. If you storm the bridge, you can turn it around or redirect it. What if you can't change the direction of the generation ship? It's locked onto a trajectory, and that's not changing.
I mean, basically, the only thing is making sure that last generation makes it there.
Yeah, exactly. You could have absolute anarchy for 9 out of 10 generations.
Right. I want to talk about it, Betty. All right, Sam Goal. Sam, I think I've been saying your name wrong, so I'm just going to try it with a British accent because you are from Great Britain. Sam Gulmohammadi, last week I posted a link about the thermostat, and I would like to know what you think of the device. Jesse, have you seen this thermostat thing?
I checked out the Kickstarter, but I was too lazy to watch any videos. No. I'm not exactly sure how it works, but it sounds cool.
It's on Kickstarter.
Automated fermentation temperature controls. That's basically what we do at work. So
it's been funded. There's 0 days to go. It's 15,000 of the 10,000 goal. But yeah, basically it seems like a cool way to automate your fermentation process for homebrewers.
Yeah, there's definitely a level of homebrewer that I do not even attempt to, reach because it's essentially the homebrew version of what I do at work.
Right.
And it's awesome that people are doing this, but for me, no fucking way am I going to invest this kind of time and money into this because that's what I do professionally.
Right.
My homebrews, they get a little warm.
Right.
So be it.
You're a mad scientist at home. You're the precision professional at work.
Exactly. That's a very good way to put it.
Yeah. Plus, like, you need
the minigun at home and the sniper rifle at work.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing is, like, you is this is like $150 for this thing.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of moolah. But Sam, thanks for giving us a heads up. Andy Burke says, okay, only if Jesse describes his wedding night in graphic detail using a Boston Australian accent. I don't think that's going to happen.
I did not have sex my wedding night, by the way.
But we did eat chicken strips.
Yeah, we ate chicken strips. I had a panic attack because I was at a crazy dive bar in Port Townsend. I'm like, this place shouldn't exist.
Well, also, there's no places in Port Townsend that serve food at 11 o'clock at night, which is ridiculous.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. And then Tasha and I went back to our hotel room, and we enjoyed a nice night's sleep, which
that happens.
Don't get a lot.
Well, that happens a lot, though, for weddings. It's like a wedding is an exhausting experience.
Yeah.
And unless I was at a wedding where you had – I was literally at a wedding with a 30-year-old virgin – that guy was rearing to go.
Oh, gross.
That guy was, like, ready to leave as quickly as possible. But, like, frankly, you're in a very loving relationship. You've had a long, tiring day that was very fun. It doesn't always happen on the wedding night.
Yeah. We also have a 8-month-old.
Right.
That shares a house with us. Yeah. And this was our one night that we got to sleep without a crying baby.
Yeah.
So we took advantage of that.
All right. Well, our friend
we fucked like crazy the next morning.
All right. Well, John O'Brien says, I vote for Boston accents. Love them trying to impersonate where I'm from. I know we talked about it a bit, but your feelings on the Aaron Hernandez, guilty or not guilty? Dude, the guy's fucking guilty.
Well, he's innocent until proven guilty right. In a court of law. That being said, oh my God, the guy's guilty. Guilty. But what the fuck?
Dude, how do you fucking squander your talents and your life position so much?
Throwing the world away.
Does he think he's Tony Soprano? Like, I don't understand how you get that mentality where you're like, I'm just going to kill a couple fools and I'm a famous football player, so I'll be fine.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Can't do it, buddy.
Ugh, it sucks.
And then finally says, maybe you could touch on the prior Facebook topic I posted. With the huge rise in popularity of EDM and dance music this summer, I think dance music has been infiltrating popular music for the past couple of years now.
I don't know what EDM means.
I don't really know what it means either. I think it's electronic. I think it's electronic dance music.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's electronic dance music. But I mean, like Daft Punk, like they're the quintessential pop EDM band, and they came out with their big album this year. But it's been happening over time. Like, all of Rihanna's hits are basically just club, like, EDM hits with right. Rihanna singing over them. Like, it's been infiltrating our music for years now. And I actually think we're kind of coming out of it with, like, teams, you know, bands like the Lumineers and then Bon Iver right. and that shit. The other thing about it is I think that, like, hip-hop and R&B are actually making a pretty good comeback with the popularity of Kanye's and Jay-Z's albums, and also like people like Frank Ocean. I think we're kind of leaving EDM actually, but I think, you know, the last 3 years have actually been gradually becoming more and more. I mean, Skrillex got popular, dude. Like, Skrillex is a pretty obscure band in any other era, you know? Or I guess it's a dude, but whatever. Jacob Jones Martinez says, what would you do to prepare for a competitive peeing contest? We got 2 likes on that one, because Priscilla Torres says, nothing about various ways of holding in your urine. Welcome back. Mitch Netzer says, ah, all I was wanting was pro tips on how to hold my urine. Very in-depth conversation last week about holding in your urine.
I feel like the whole premise was flawed, though.
Why?
Well, because apparently the competition was to pee the longest.
Right. It's got to be volume, dude.
It's got to be volume, because there are people who suffer from a disease called incontinence mm-hmm. who cannot stop peeing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, all right, you're all going to lose. It'd be like right. if we tried to have the Tour de France, but then there was also a group of people on Earth who had a disease where they cannot stop cycling.
Right.
It's like they're going to win.
I think it's got to be volume for sure.
It definitely has to be volume.
And frankly, I don't have a lot of advice on this because I feel like if there was this competition, I feel like I'd be pretty good at it. Because
I pee like once a natural talent.
I pee like once a day.
Really?
Yeah, I got a bladder the size of fucking Mexico, dude.
You're the opposite of me. I'm a 10 times a day peer.
Well, you got to balance each other up. But the fact of the matter is, I pee once a day.
Really?
Yeah.
That must be nice. How often do you poop?
Once a day. Usually get it all done
at the same time. Yeah,
get all done at once.
Damn, you're hyper efficient.
I did. So that conversation last week was crazy, especially like the clothespin on the end of the ween.
Yeah, that was a bad strategy, sure.
Yeah, that's like instant pain. I don't understand how you're supposed to keep that on there.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, get some high-stress liquid tape or something.
God.
Like, really, I would get, like, a liquid glue or something, and then you can poke a hole in it if you're going for the longest.
All right, this is we're
this
done
is,
here.
This is a conversation better suited for A-Rod and Jim.
Yeah, for a now-defunct podcast. Blue Yonder or something like that. I can't even remember.
All right. John O'Brien says, a Focus Focus, perhaps about wines, bum wines, or malt beverages. I kind of like this a lot.
That's good. I don't know if we can do Focus Focus unless we're in the same room.
That's true, but I like this. Let's put this in our back pocket.
Okay.
James Patterson says, with all the hubbub surrounding Star Wars and Disney, Indiana Jones is forgotten. If you rebooted the franchise, pick a director, star, and basic plot, my two wishes – no LaBeouf, and reboot back to the young indie days. Not enough World War One movies out there. Thanks. I agree with you, James. And actually, I also want to put this on my back pocket because I think it could be a really good topic. That said, I would love to see an Edgar Wright, Shaun of the Dead-esque Indiana Jones movie. Just do Indiana Jones, but put Simon Pegg as Indiana Jones.
No.
Yes.
Ugh.
I love your reaction. What? No. All right. Michael King, Nod Hero Baby, says redheads. Jesse, your thoughts?
Sure.
Why not, dude? Gingers.
Yeah.
We are 50% ginger on this podcast. So
that's true.
We are check full our pubes. Sport of gingers. Zane Swanson, new evidence shows that humans may have been able to speak with Neanderthals. If you could speak to one other species, what would it be and what would you say?
Neanderthals were humans.
No, they were technically a different species.
Still humans.
They were homo. They were of the homo genus, but they were not.
Still humans.
Humans. No, they were not. Cro-Magnons were humans.
No.
Neanderthals are a separate
species. Neanderthals were humans, yes.
Nah,
and Neanderthals and Cro-Magnons did interbreed.
They did interbreed. That's fine.
And they're still humans.
That's like saying that horses and or like tigers.
We are Neanderthals. We have Neanderthal genetics.
That's like saying that lions and tigers are the same species.
What?
That's like saying that lions and tigers can breed.
Yeah, but their children come out like sterile.
They come out like humans.
They come out like... It's like a mule that can't breathe.
I don't know if that's true. I know it's true for the mules, but I think we've talked about this before, and I'm not sure if ligers cannot mate.
I'm pretty sure they can't.
Okay. Well,
but
regardless.
But like, if you're from Scandinavia, like you and I, we're like half Neanderthal.
That's fine. I don't care.
Well, it's all part of the greater human thing.
No, but they're not humans.
I'm sure they can talk.
They're a separate species.
Mass debatable.
Not really if you're talking to an anthropologist.
Anthropologists have been wrong before.
Fertility. The fertility of hybrid big cat females is well documented across a number of different hybrids. This is in accordance with the Haldane's rule in hybrid animals whose sex is determined by sex chromosomes. If one sex is absent, rare, or sterile, it is heterogenematic sex. I can't read this.
You've really proved your point.
Totally. The one with the most, with the two different sex chromosomes. So I think that ligers and tigons were long thought to be sterile. In 1943, a 15-year-old hybrid between a lion and an island tiger was successfully mated with a lion. The female cub, though of delicate health, was raised to adulthood.
Yeah.
And great. In September 2012, the Russian Novosibirsk Zoo announced the birth of a liliger, which is an offspring of a liger mother and a lion father. The cub was named Kiara. They are not sterile, and they are two different species.
St- still.
Deal whatever. With it.
Neanderthals are humans.
All right. Finally, Levi says, check out this Kickstarter. I'm stoked for 2 to 5 player portable card game with what looks like a pretty cool mechanic. It's the Agents. You can find on Kickstarter. And that's going to roll right into our recommendations. Jesse, what's your first reco?
Oh, shoot. My first recommendation is a little product called the Hydro Flask.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of these?
No, no.
It's a growler. It's for putting your beer in.
Mm-hmm.
I got the 64-ounce one, but they come in various sizes from like 20, 40, 64 ounces.
Yep.
All around there. And it's a double-wall vacuum-insulated growler.
Okay.
So basically, like, you can keep it in your car under, like, direct sunlight, and you can keep it there for, like, several hours, and it doesn't affect the temperature.
Nicely done.
And my favorite part about it, I bought one of these. My favorite part about it is it kind of just looks like a big Nalgene bottle.
Uh-huh.
So if you wanted to buy an entire growler's worth of beer and drink it inconspicuously, yeah, like I plan to do at Penny Arcade Expo this year.
Why not?
This is the way to do it.
We're not going to do PAX juice?
I plan to do both.
Okay, sounds good.
I'm bringing the flask. Scan the growler.
Do it. All right. Well, my first reco is going to be Pacific Rim. It's coming out this weekend. Guillermo del Toro, Robots versus Ancient Ones. I want to see it. And it's only slated to make, like, in pre-sales and all that, they're looking at it. It's only slated to make $35 million in its first weekend, which is not a huge opening because it's like a $200 million film. We need to support these movies because they are original ideas. They're not based off of toys. They're not based off of...
We've been over this.
What?
It's the same premise as an anime.
That's fine.
It's not an original idea.
It's Guillermo del Toro. I don't think that he has owned properties before. Like, he did Hellboy. He's working on a dark DC movie. He's also trying to make Slaughterhouse-5. He doesn't have trouble giving...
I'm just saying, don't call it an entirely original concept.
Well, I mean, what concept is entirely original?
Well, not one that's based off of an existing franchise.
I don't think it's based off of the franchise. I think it has similarities to the franchise. Regardless, it's a $200 million movie, and these are the movies we need to support. These are the Inceptions. These are the District Nines. They are original film ideas. And get out to the theater. I'm going to be there, and I'll tell you about it next week. What's your second reco?
So I can't really recommend it because it's not something I did.
Okay.
But it's something I wish I had done.
Uh-huh.
Which is, when you go on vacation, bring your own damn pillow.
Yeah.
Because I did not bring my pillow.
No brainer.
I was a subject to the hotel pillows, are the most uncomfortable things on earth. They're way too big.
Way too big, way too small, way too soft, way too hard. It's a wild card, dude. You never know what you're going to get.
I would take small and soft or hard. These are ones, like, I couldn't even get my head on it. Like, my neck was at, like, a 78-degree angle.
Yeah.
And I ended up just sleeping, like, on my arm because the pillows were too goddamn big.
Well, there you go.
Am I a giant?
I don't know, man. My recommendation this week is going to be... And this is a little flip. It's a callback to earlier in the cast. I just got my Russell Wilson Seahawks jersey in the mail.
Oh, man, you're going to have to return that. You ordered a Flynn.
I just got it in the mail. I love it. I'm wearing it right now. It's awesome.
It changes the whole timber of the cast.
it changes everything. I've been wearing it the whole time. Dude, get your Russell Wilson jersey because Seahawks Super Bowl 2013. Let's do it. Seahawks Nation. It's funny, like, because I was on this, I had my shirt at the Mariners game last night. The Kidsap's son called me tonight and did an interview with me.
Really?
Yeah. And the guy was like,
hometown hero.
I know, right? And the guy was like, are you a fan of all Seattle sports? And I was like, dude, I literally ordered a Russell Wilson jersey and I'm just wearing it around my apartment right now.
Mm-hmm.
I love Seattle sports, and you should too, listener, because the Seahawks are going to the Super Bowl.
Okay, come on, Eric.
What?
Let's not get out of control here.
They are going to the Super Bowl, dude. If they don't go to the... What? You literally cannot jinx things, dude.
Play it down.
Jinxing?
Don't get excited about it.
You can't jinx shit, dude.
It's Seattle sports, after all.
I know. It's all a disappointment. But guess what? The Seahawks have actually literally been to the Super Bowl before.
How'd that work out?
Yeah. They're NFC champions. Referees are assholes. Jesse, I love you so much. I'm really happy you're married, and I'm happy we're back podcasting.
Yeah. I'm happy you're wearing that Flynn jersey over the Russell Wilson jersey.
I am. It's an authentic Raiders jersey.
It's awesome. Reversible.
Yeah, it's reversible.
One side is a Raiders Flynn jersey. The other side is a Seahawks Wilson jersey.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, listener, we're happy to be back. We're happy to have you on the show. Please get in touch with us. PersonalArrogance@gmail.com. 360-362-0024 at Personal Podcast. You can rate and review us on iTunes. And you can always tell a friend if you like the cast. Jesse, until next time, please remember that wherever you go.
And whatever you do.
Stay arrogant.
Arrogant.